Hello, this is Vivi on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, with English Talk Radio. Today we are talking to the Kowalinski Group from the European Molecular Biology Laboratory about trypanosomes. Eva, yes. Is that correct?
Yeah, trypanosomes. And
okay. Which are parasites that cause sleeping sickness, Chagas disease, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
Oh, I'm doing well. And various animal diseases. No effective vaccine has yet been developed. Welcome, Eva Kowalinski, Harold Bernard, and Hannah Petrzelkova.
Almost there, yes.
Please introduce yourselves and your participation in the group.
Yeah, I'm Eva Kowalinski. I'm a group leader and researcher at EMBL, the European Molecular Biology Laboratory in Grenoble. And I'm heading a group doing research on RNA processing and modification.
And what does that mean?
What does it mean?
The process.
Maybe come to this later. We continue with the introduction.
No? All right. Hannah.
Hello, I'm Hannah. I joined Eva's group a bit over a year ago. At first, it was supposed to be a short-term position, but now I just started my PhD with Eva.
So you'll be around for a while.
Yes, exactly.
Harold.
Yeah, I'm Harold, and I used to be a PhD student with Eva, and I'm currently a postdoc at the Institut Biologie Structurale in Grenoble.
Okay. So where are you now in your research? Where is it? Is it halfway, quarter of the way?
Yeah, so we had recently a publication of a project, as Harry's main PhD project in Nature Communications, of characterization of a protein complex from this parasite Trypanosoma brucei, and it's kind of it's an end of this project, but this whole project is also a start of new research lines.
Okay, that
was so I think we're going to talk a bit about what we've done so far, and then we could also go into what we are doing in the future.
What you're doing next? Okay, that's good. All right. Anybody else want to talk on that subject, where you are? Well, you're new to it, so it's all new to you.
Yes, it was all new, but I joined to finish up this part of the project, and it was very exciting. And actually, now we get to ask new questions, so I'm using what I've learned so far also to progress more and find out more in this, in these parasites.
Harold, any ideas?
No.
Well, you completed something, as
exactly.
Eva said.
Yeah.
So you come to the certain point, but there's more to do. There's a lot more to do, and you'll be asking different questions of the same what?
Yeah. So maybe Harry could talk a bit about what he's accomplished and what this past project was about.
Sounds like a school report.
Kind of is. We characterized this one protein complex from trypanosomes, which is called the CAP binding complex.
Right.
It's a very important complex also in other organisms like humans and animals. And it's present there as well. But it has been shown to be very different. So it's bigger and it has more components. And if you have a relation like this, like if you have a protein complex in the parasite that is responsible for causing a disease, and something the same in human, but it's supposed to look very different, then you have something in your hand that can be used as a drug target.
So will you still be referring back to the research you've done?
Yes, exactly.
That will be a good, steady part of the future.
Exactly. So we described now this protein complex, and now that we can start understand this protein complex and how it works, we can maybe start influencing and go on from there.
What is the difference between the trypanosomal and human nuclear cap binding complex? What's the difference?
So in simple terms, it's like the size and the composition of it. Like in humans and in other animals, this is a protein complex that looks usually very similar. It has two two subunits that bind to the RNA. But the trypanosoma one has been shown to has like four subunits, and three of those were completely new. They didn't had any associated function to it. And we found out that there is a part that looks similar to the human one, but there's a full new part that is like flexibly linked, and that has actually a new function, and it has a second binding site for the RNA.
So that's very interesting and stimulating for the future.
Yes.
I need to use my microphone when I speak. You are talking cellular RNA. What's RNA?
So RNA is one of the major molecules that we use in life organisms. All life organisms, basically we have several groups of molecules which are important for lives. You have DNA, which stores the information, and then you have proteins, which are actually functional, and they build the cells, and they are, for example, doing all the chemical reactions and getting energies. And those two informations, the information and the functional part, need to be connected, and this is how RNA is the molecule that connects those two.
Okay.
It works basically as a messenger, where we take the parts of the information from DNA we want to interpret and use, and we transcribe them in those short messengers, which are just long, short-lived, just to read them and interpret them. And this is RNA.
And see what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. So where was I? I was now, you are talking cellular RNA metabolism.
Maybe I can hook in here. Yeah.
Yes.
So the interesting part for us is that the messenger RNA, so the RNAs in trypanosomes in this parasitic infective organism, looks pretty much like ours. We're all eukaryotic organisms. The interesting part is that the processing, so to get to this mature RNA, which has to undergo several steps of processing before it can be used, is very different in humans and in trypanosomes. There's different pathways, and not much is known about these pathways. So we are there to do some fundamental research to see how this processing of the RNA happens. And it's also an interesting aspect that these machines that do the processing, they look much different from what we know in humans. And this is why, again, this drug target aspect comes in, that these differences can serve as drug targets, or these complexes that are different.
So you see what you want, and the point now is to work around it and work into it and separate the two things, DNA, RNA. Or did I misunderstand?
I mean, no, the DNA is the genomic information, right. The storage, and the proteins are the functional right. elements of the cell, and the RNA is just an intermediate,
okay.
a transient
right.
blueprint from which the genetic information is transferred to the protein level.
You are listening to 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble. What got you into science, into the labs?
Yeah, for me, I studied molecular biology, and I think what really started clicking for me was once I got actually involved in research projects, especially during my master's, because it's just like a very interesting work approach. You get like a research question that you are supposed to answer, but nobody knows how to do that, or you need to find out yourself, and then you design experiments to prove certain things, and it can be, of course, tricky. It can be a long process, but then once you manage, it's a very rewarding step.
That's how you started. So do you still remember your first eureka point where you said, ah, or has that faded long ago with everything else?
Yeah. So in principle, we are like structural biologists, so the goal is always to solve protein structures. And I had a very fortunate project very early in my studies where I, in just in 2 months, could solve a protein structure, and that was like a very, it was like...
That was the click moment.
Nice, yeah, exactly. Never happened again that fast.
Maybe you should go back to the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Eva, how did you get into the labs?
Yeah, I was always interested in natural science and in physics, chemistry, biology, and then it turned out that molecular biotechnology, structural biology, or but the technical biology is for me. And yeah, it's like being now doing research is like being a detective. You collect different faraway pieces of information. You try to make connections. You fail, and sometimes then you hit it and you connect a piece of a puzzle, and this is very rewarding.
It sounds like it. You know, one of the things I love about my work with English Talk Radio is when people come and talk about their jobs and they love them. And they're thrilled to be there. Because my job, I'm a political writer, and my job, I love my job, and I wouldn't change it for anything. And when you have someone coming in and sparking, you know, and saying, I love what I do, it's a great, great feeling. And it also stimulates other people. And they'll say, well, why am I doing this job when I could do something that makes me feel like that? Hannah, how did you get into the labs?
Well, I think I grew up with science. Both of my parents are chemical engineers.
Oh, that's cheating.
But, you know, in the end, it's still the passion that brought me to this. But I was fortunate to have people around who actually showed me how making experiments and just being curious can be so fulfilling and so fun. So, you know, I grew up going to the forest and picking bugs and doing like little chemist experiments in our kitchen. And yeah, I'm still having fun in the lab now.
Well, you've only just begun, really, in a way.
Yeah, I've worked in a laboratory before, so this is not new for me.
Okay.
I just decided now that with Eva's group, I could actually follow up with the education. But yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Very, very good. I like to hear these stories. Okay, talk about funding your projects. This is always a downer. Funding?
No. <Ooh. laughs> No, so we are fortunate to do research at a European lab. So this is the EMBL is supported by 29 member states, and amongst those, France. So we have some internal funding, and this particular project was funded by a French national A&R grant.
I read that, yeah.
And on top, we have now for the future received a European funding through a ERC consolidator grant, which lets us follow up on the presented story to dive deeper into the mRNA processing of trypanosomes.
So you're set. You've got the money and the ideas and the people, mm-hmm. and you're in good shape.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, the group, yeah, we have a good functioning group. Even the ex-members join us for activities, so that's good.
Oh, you're an ex now.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they say about exes. Oh.
My time is over.
Yeah. But you were a star for a short time.
Yeah. That's okay with me.
So,
but that's normal in science. I mean, you have to collect different experiences. And
Yeah. And sometimes you make your own group.
Sometimes, yeah.
We'll be back here in a couple of years with the Bernard group. I can see it. So it hasn't been an issue for you at all, or was it an issue at some point with funding?
There could be always more, but the grass is always greener on the other side. But I think we've done in my group so far fantastic research with the means we had, and so I'm grateful for this. I'm really grateful.
They've rewarded you with money. That's a nice idea, isn't it? Who wants a medal? Okay, any special websites for our listeners to discover your work? Anything that we can pass on? Because we are at the university, you know.
Yeah, I would say that the easiest is probably to go to embl.org, so embl.org. And take it from there. There's a news section. You can go to search for the Kowalinski group. There is an infection biology topic that you can search for. Take it from embl.org.
Okay. Anything else would you mention? Anything that was interesting that could help students? Poor students who don't have all the money you've got?
Be curious, be passionate.
Find out for yourself. Okay, what comes next for the Kawalinski Group?
What comes next? So there's two ways that we follow. There's one, this fundamental aspect on how is RNA processing and these parasites working. But since they're parasites, there's also a medical aspect. So we actually have one project and a group that will follow up on this and try now to target this complex, of which Harry has solved the structure, to target this complex with some small molecules, inhibitors, to inhibit the function. And maybe this could, in the far future, develop in some anti-infectives, anti-trypanosomatid infectives. Who knows?
Wow. There is a future.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Hannah?
I think it's a bright future. I think there's always a lot of work to do, but we are excited. I'm now focusing more on the fundamental part of this. And there's so much to discover. So.
And if you're moving on, where are you moving on to? Is it something interesting?
Yeah, of course, it's interesting.
Are you allowed
to
speak about it or not?
I'm not fully sure, I guess.
Then maybe not.
Maybe it's probably better not, but...
is it James Bondish?
It's very interesting as well. There's a lot of interesting biological mechanisms that you can study, so I'm happy in my new job as well.
So when the funding is put together, and I'm not talking about your type of funding that you just mentioned, because that's countries... Right? That's, you said there was money from France. But the kind of thing that businesses look at, pharmaceutical businesses, they come and see you or they look at your work and they say, how about if we did this, that, and the other? Would that change anything? And if we give you lots of money to change it? Do you have any of that?
I mean, we are doing really fundamental understanding of how pathways work, but we have these projects that cross the border towards application. So I could imagine if this project that goes towards the application goes a bit further, just some steps, maybe pharmaceutical industry would become interested. So we are doing really early drug discovery. It's not we'll take some more steps until this is interesting for industry.
So at that point, we would have pharmaceutical companies obviously going around to universities and looking at groups like yours. I mean, that's logical, isn't it? I mean, it's not going to come across their desk necessarily. They're going to look for you. They're going to hunt you down, find out what you're doing, and see if they can benefit from it. Because ultimately, pharmaceutical companies are very, very rich. So they've got lots and lots of dosh.
I'm not sure that it works this way. It's rather so most universities or also EMBL has a office for technology transfer. And so usually scientists, they discuss with this office for technology transfer. And usually these offices then reach out to pharmaceutical companies and funders to make the connection.
Okay, I see. All right, anybody else want to talk about that? Don't want to talk about pharmaceutical companies. Well, you know, I have to read a lot of papers and I read the Financial Times and I see pharmaceuticals are up there all the time.
It would be great if they would throw some more money into research, yes. So if anyone hears this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about pharmaceuticals at all. I was bereft of science in my school. I went to a girls' boarding school in Germany, and the science teacher was absolutely dead boring. And there were only two girls in my year that took science that went on, continued with. And it's a shame because now, I'm not saying you should have puppets and all that stuff. I'm not saying that at all, but you should have more intrinsic ideas about, and I'm sure they do, about how to teach basic science to children. And then it keeps them interested. But it was, oh, no more Bunsen burners for me, you know. Do you still use Bunsen burners?
Yeah, we do for certain tasks, yeah.
Yeah. Are they improved? I mean, are they high tech and you plug them in, or are they just the same old boring Bunsen burners?
The same old, I would say.
So, what have you learned? What have you learned? The one thing, and this is not in the script, the one thing that you've learned in the science that you wouldn't have known if you'd been a, what, engineer?
I think one big thing I've learned, but I think also engineers learn this, is don't give up, be stubborn. Because in science, you never know where it's going to take you. And sometimes you find out the path you were taking is not going anywhere. And you have to just turn and go somewhere else. And this is how you get answers. You don't give up and you find a different way to get them. So.
Well, that's what you said, be curious. Yes. Now, there's nothing better than a curious mind. What about you? Do you have any anything that you would like to say about that?
I don't know. I think the most important thing is indeed like being curious and don't lose your curiosity. So you keep it thriving. It can be hard sometimes and like experiments fail and nothing is going well. But then if you keep on being curious, keep on being like stubborn to get it done, it will work out at some point.
So it's the same as writing. You have to know when it's the end of that sentence or that thing you've written. Yes. And you have to know in science when it's the end of that project and you really is not going to be that different. We're a dead end. But you're saying no. When you get to a dead end and you say that's it, you keep going.
I mean, I
just... If you have the money.
Yeah, I would describe, I mean, if you see the knowledge of the world as a like air balloon and we are sitting inside and we're trying to poke out to the borders to expand it. But a lot of times there's a wall on the other side, so you just close doors. But it's really rewarding if you manage to poke out and to create some new knowledge. And yeah, it's really rewarding.
Time for a beer when you have that reward. You all go down and have a beer when something good happens?
We did, yeah, when the paper was out.
Yeah. Proud of that paper.
Yes.
Yeah. So when's the next paper due?
Ooh.
It's going to be a while.
I think there's some data on my desk that should be wrapped up. Yeah, the next student to graduate.
What about EMBL? What about their facilities and how you work and all that sort of stuff? We haven't mentioned EMBL. Do they have anything good to say about them?
Yeah, it's a great place to do your PhD, definitely. There's a lot of facilities that are accessible to me as a student, as a PhD student. And it's very easy to get access. Maybe easier even sometimes than on a university. Like you can, there's like 6 different sites across Europe, and you can also access the facilities from the other sites, which makes certain tasks like very easy. And if you have an idea, you can see, okay, can somebody help me with this? And then there might be people able to actually help you.
Oh, I see. So they might not be directly working with you, but they will offer help.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I think this is a huge, huge part of EMBL. It's a space where you have experts in many, many fields. And it's very international and you can always find someone who's open to discuss your science and to help you out and give some advice and opinions. So it's not just, our supervisor like Eva, who we are talking with, but there's definitely someone to have new ideas and everyone is very open to discuss.
Except some of your ideas must be secretive. You don't want everyone to know everything, do you?
No, I think within EMBL we're quite open and sharing within EMBL and the sites, and the sites are very connected via Zoom. In Grenoble, we have great facilities. We have an electron microscope and a protein expression facility and a biophysics facility, which is shared with some university institutes, which we can use. This is really helpful. We have facilities at other sites for sequencing and mass spectrometry. which is really useful, and we are open and sharing, and yeah, and at the end the work is published in journals which are open, yes, accessible.
Yes, mm-hmm. So that's it. So everybody knows. But there must be certain things that you want to keep that are special to you, to your group.
Temporarily, maybe.
I'm trying to get some secret information, but I'm not doing very well at all. Thanks, Eva, Harold, and Hannah for sharing your science world with ETR today. Thanks also to Mylene Andre of EMBL for setting up the interview. Thanks to Louis. You can listen to ETR Wednesday 1900, Sunday 12:30, and don't forget the podcast, campusgrenoble.org. English Talk Radio.